Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
The second reading is taken from Matthew chapter 22, beginning to read at verse 34. And is found on page 990 in the Bibles in front of you. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much indeed, Amanda and Fiona. Just to say, I know we have some children in the back room and we have some children in here, which is wonderful. All children are brilliantly welcome. There are some colouring things on a table over here, and Dave Wharton is somewhere around with another appropriate person already at the back. If any children who is left in here want to go and join in, either is fine. But the talk for today turns out a tiny bit longer than I intended and less child-friendly than I intended to, but it's worth listening to, I hope. Let's pray as we continue. Dear Lord, we do thank you again for your love for us and for your goodness to us. And we're very, very conscious that we live in a very much richer part of the world than many. And Lord, we know that your love is for sharing. It's for others as well as for ourselves. And we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to new ways, if it's appropriate, or to reignite old ways of sharing that love with others today. Amen. So we have a lovely harvest collection here, which is fantastic. By the way, Hilary Latham and Vanessa Cope and others are the ones who did our wonderful harvest display. So a really big thank you to them. And I'll say really big thank you to them. Perfect. And yeah, very, very grateful. And I'll say other thank yous later on as well, which is wonderful. Today, it's a good opportunity, like I said, to think about others. And it seemed like a good day to read about the inauguration of Jesus' ministry, his heart for the poor and downtrodden, his desire to see the unjust structures of society transformed, and that call which he places on us all to doing our part in bringing that into fruition in the world today. So I have some facts to get us started. Now, times have changed a bit, and I've just sent all the children out, so I can't ask this in the way that I was going to, but do any of you have grandchildren who have pocket money? Or who to whom you give pocket money? Fantastic. And dare I ask, it might be too personal a question actually, is anybody happy to share how much pocket money the grandchildren get given? Suddenly crossed my mind that that might not be something people want to share.
I know that Faith gets £5 a week.
So £5 a week. Inflation has done a lot. I remember the days of 10p. But, and other people might remember other things than that as well. Anybody else happy to share what pocket money a grandchild gets?
Grandchild.
Or a child. I think it's or a child. But
well, I think Matthew's going to get a pay cut now. he gets 10 quid a week.
£10 a week. Wow. Now, this is really interesting because that's very common amounts in this day and age. But I was reading a little bit, like I said, about some facts about poverty around the world, and nearly half the world's population, 3 billion people, live on less than £2 a day. It's just interesting to put it in the context of how much pocket money we give our children. More than 1.3 billion of those live in extreme poverty on less than £1 a day. And I wish to make everybody feel very sad. It's just important that we're aware. We have 1 billion children living worldwide who are in poverty, and 22,000 children die every day because they don't have enough food to eat, enough clean water, and some of the things that go with that. 805 million people worldwide don't have enough food to eat every day, and that includes some people in the UK. And that's why it's really, really good that all of this is going to go to our local food bank. Very, very important. It's interesting, this will be a statistic you've heard, because I've heard it sort of bounded around quite a lot in the last few years. But Oxfam estimates that it would take less than £50 billion a year to end extreme poverty, and that is less than a quarter of the income of the 100 richest billionaires of the world. It's quite shocking, some of these statistics. And Jesus was all about transforming the unjust structures of society, and these are unjust statistics. We've been thinking about the global perspective, but poverty, as we know, we've just been saying, with the food bank isn't a distant thing. There are huge needs closer to home. Food bank usage is soaring in the UK, and figures from the Trussell Trust show that in 2018, 1,332,951 three-day emergency food supplies were given out to people in crisis across the UK. That was a 13% rise from the year before and a 6% rise from the year before that. And it's estimated that approaching 5,000 people a night are currently sleeping rough on the streets of England, many of whom are in London. And that doesn't include people who sofa surf because they don't have a home as such, but stay with friends and go from place to place. And as we come into the winter months, that's something for us to be particularly aware of. Now, these are just a few examples of unjust situations across the world and nearer to home. And we know that the Bible has a lot to say about this topic. Throughout the Old Testament, we hear the prophets, Isaiah, Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Micah, all using incredibly powerful language to challenge the unjust ways which the rich and powerful treat the persecuted, poorer and more vulnerable members of society. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 15. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord God Almighty. And Micah chapter 6, verse 8, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. And then we have Jesus, our radical, controversial, transforming saviour. I wonder, in the Bibles, you were told the page number. It's page 1031, page 1031. And if you're happy to, I'd like us to turn back to Luke chapter 4, so I can talk about it in a little bit more detail. Page 1031. So the reading is from the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's just been baptized. He has spent 40 days fasting in the wilderness, being tempted by the devil. And then in this passage, he returns to Nazareth, the town where he grew up, to the synagogue where he has worshipped since he was a boy. And he declares to everybody who are there to hear what his ministry on earth is going to be all about. And reading from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus declares, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." We know that the good news of the gospel of Jesus of Nazareth is that God is on the side of the downtrodden. God is on the side of the poor, the side of those who are facing injustice. He is on the side of those who society so often treats as worthless. Good news to the poor, release for the captives, sight for the blind, letting the oppressed go free, declaring God's favour. These were the things that were then and are now on Jesus' heart. And throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus living this out. He goes about healing the sick and forgiving sins and feeding the hungry and sharing meals and even more meals with those who are excluded in society. The woman at the well, the widow at Nain, the 10 lepers, the people possessed by demons, the woman with hemorrhages, the blind and mute who he healed. These were the people who were outcast by society, and Jesus made it his business to transform their lives. He's made it his business to transform ours, and he asks us to do the same for others in his name. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself." So today is harvest, and we celebrate and give thanks for God's goodness to us. But we reflect on the deeply unjust structures of our society and how much it must grieve God that his harvest across the world and in the UK is not being shared well enough between everybody. That's why I did the melon illustration at the beginning, to help us really see what it's like as well as talk about it. So, we have work to do. And how do we play our part in this? How do we continue to love our neighbour as ourselves? Well, many of us do a lot of work in this area already, and I know this. There are many of us investing time for God in exactly this kind of ministry. But there's always more we can do, and it's always good to assess where we're at with this in life. So I'm going to suggest three things that might help us. We need to be praying. We need to be being radically personal with people. And we need to be involved in some way. So firstly, we need to be praying. Now, I know many of you feel as strongly about prayer as I do. I believe prayer is the most important thing any follower of Jesus can do. And the great thing about prayer is that every single one of us can do it. There are needs all around us, in the news, among the people we know, absolutely everywhere. And all of us, whether we're the youngest or the oldest, whether we are able-bodied or not, whether we can go out or aren't able to anymore, whether we are in good health or ill, all of us can pray for the needs of others. And we can pray on our own any time, any place. God doesn't mind how we pray. Anywhere is fine. We can form prayer partners and prayer triplets. And if you're not sure what that is, have a chat with me afterwards. We can pray in our small groups. And we have quite a few small groups at St Mary's. If you're somebody who's at St Mary's who would like to join one, or you're somebody at St Paul's who'd be interested in forming one, it's a good time to mention it to me, because I'm currently going around all the small groups and seeing everybody there and really enjoying that. But I'm also thinking about what other groups we might like to have in our parish going forward. So there are countless opportunities for us to pray, to intercede for the needs of the world, to ask God to give us missionary eyes to see the people he's calling us specifically to help. We need to pray. We also need to be radically personal. Working to transform the unjust structures of society often happens one person at a time. It's a bit like the story we probably all know about the boy throwing the starfish back into the sea. Once upon a time, there was an old man who used to go to the ocean to do his writing. He had a habit of walking on the beach every morning before he began his work. Early one morning, he was walking along the shore after a big storm had passed and found the vast beach littered with starfish as far as the eye could see, stretching in both directions. Off in the distance, the old man noticed a small boy approaching. As the boy walked, he paused every so often, and as he grew closer, the man could see that he was occasionally bending down to pick up an object and throw it into the sea. The boy came closer still, and the man called out, "Good morning. May I ask you what you're doing?" The young boy paused and looked up and replied, "I'm throwing starfish into the ocean. The sun has washed them up onto the beach and they can't return to the sea by themselves. When the sun gets high, they will die unless I throw them back into the water." The old man replied, "But there must be tens of thousands of starfish on this beach. I'm afraid you won't really be able to make much of a difference." And the boy bent down and picked up yet another starfish and threw it as far as he could into the ocean. And he turned and smiled. He said, "I made a difference to that one." So radically personal, one starfish at a time, really one person at a time. We can make a difference as we allow God to work through us in the world. So we need to be praying, we need to be radically personal, and we need to be involved. And it may be that God is going to use today or this week to put something new on our hearts. It may be that he's going to remind us of something he's already asked us to do, which we haven't already. Or that he's going to develop something that we are already doing, that he wants to add to further, something extra in an act of service we're already involved in. Many of us have causes on our hearts that we are really passionate about and are already helping out with. But if you're wondering about where to begin, or you might have a bit more capacity, there are some possible ideas. You might be able to think of many others. So we can keep giving to the food bank on a regular basis. We do, but I'm thinking it would be good if we upped this in some way. So we'll be thinking about how to do that as a parish. A group of six of us have already signed up to help with the Sutton Night Shelter in January and February 2020. And it's not too late to join the teams that will be volunteering. And we'll be feeding food to people who are hungry and giving them a warm welcome in a place where they can sleep, so they quite literally won't be at risk of freezing on the streets, freezing to death on the streets. A group of us, Steve Bottom and Robin Ellingham from St Mary's, Joan Norris and Deirdre Jackson from St Paul's, are your mission giving team for our parish. And we will be working to plan our mission giving strategy, which the PCC will work on us with us as well. And we'll be consulting you to ask for suggestions of new mission partners to represent us being a newly joined parish we might be able to give to going forward. So you might want to have a think. Are there particular people you want to draw to our attention? And we'll be in contact with you to invite you to do that at some point soon. A number of us, seven of you, have already said to me you're happy to help in some way with the nursing homes in our parish. And we are also hoping to open some pools out on Tuesday afternoons from November as a coffee afternoon for elderly folk who might be feeling isolated in our locality. It doesn't have to be just elderly folk, it's aimed at the elderly, but it's everybody really who wants to come along. Now, you might have loads of time and think, I can give every Tuesday afternoon to that cause for the rest of the year. Wonderful if that's you. But if you think, actually, I could only give one Tuesday afternoon because I'm so busy, it would still be really, really handy to hear from you. That would be great. And there's quite a few of you now who've said you're happy to cook meals for people who need them. And there are people who need them. So I'm actually looking for a meals coordinator now. So those are just a few examples. God may be laying something completely different on your heart. Possibilities through our work, or through the church, or through our own personal lives, day to day, are absolutely endless. The point is we, like Jesus, are to be good news for others. And when we be good news for others, we also have the opportunity often to tell them about him too. To be used by God to draw them to him, which is the most important thing of all. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. As we celebrate harvest today, giving thanks for God's great goodness to us, I wonder what he is calling us to do in response to this. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. That is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. Amen.